Blog Talk Radio.
The date of the writing of the Gospel of John was between AD 90 and AD 100. The emphasis in the Gospel of John is on the Judean ministry of Jesus. Jesus is the revelatory word. There are no parables in the Gospel of John. Discourses are emphasized. The Christ event is paramount in the mind of John. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, we have the great prologue of John. We have the faith-producing impact of Jesus' initial ministry. The great I am claims of Jesus are not metaphorical, but in the great I am pronouncements, Jesus shows himself as essential reality. That is, the one who is essential, necessary for human existence. And so it is in John's Gospel, chapter 1, that we read in verse 18, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so in chapter 1, verse 18, we have the Word who dwelt among us in the King James Version. And it literally means he pitched a tent. And the tent, of course, was his flesh. That is, John is speaking of the incarnation of the Logos. He is the Theanthropos. He is God's word to man. And so as we go on in chapter 1, we read about the meeting that Jesus had with Simon Peter. Jesus said these words in John 1:42 to Simon Peter. We read, and he brought him to Jesus, that is his brother. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," or Kepha, which, when translated, is Peter. And so Kepha, or Kephas, is in the Aramaic. Now, what we have here in this verse is the new name motif, that is, a new beginning. Jesus looked at Simon Peter and said, "You are ... you will be." And so we see that the public ministry of Jesus was a ministry of action. Jesus met people where they were, and Jesus lifted them from their estate, and he told them that God has a new way for you. God has a new beginning for you. God has a new life for you through me. Jesus emphatically states in the Gospel of John, "I am the Hodas. I am the road. I am the way." He said, "No man comes unto the Father except by me. Jesus will meet many different personalities in his public ministry. I want to go now to John chapter 3 and read verse 1. Now there is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." And so there are those who believe that Jesus conversed in Aramaic, but this narrative was recorded by John in Koine Greek. The name Nicodemus means victorious among his people. Victorious among his people. And so John, that is Nicodemus, says to Jesus, "We know that you are a didaskalos, that is a teacher who has come from God." And Jesus in verse 3 replied, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again," or born anew, anothen, born from above. Nicodemus becomes literal. In verse 4, he says, "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asks, "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must, or it is necessary in the nature of the case, that you be born again." The Greek word in verse 7 for must is the Greek word dei, which means, once again, it is necessary in the nature of the case that this happens. It is necessary for a person to be born again. One cannot claim to have a relationship with Christ unless one has been born from above. Yes, indeed, one may say that he or she is a believer, but then there is the true confession that the writer to the Hebrews speaks about. Jesus is our confession, not our profession. He is our confession. Verse 8, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, and you cannot tell where it comes from, or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Look at this verse very carefully. It is a very, very important verse. The subject noun is at the beginning of the sentence, God. And we have the verb, loved, agape. And then we have the direct object of the verb, and it is the word cosmos. So, God so loved the world. And notice, purpose clause, we have these words, that he gave his one and only Son. God so loved. The word agape is what we call a noun of action in the Greek. It is a word that has the characteristics of a noun and that of a verb. And note that the word agape has to do with one's attitude. Yes, we can say undeserved favor, that's grace. Grace is also a noun of action. Faith is a noun of action. Agape, or love, is also a noun of action. So, what did God do? What was God's action? Well, we see it is his gift. God so loved the world that he gave. The wonderful person of Jesus is God's gift to those who were under the curse of the law, that is his people, that is the Jewish people, and then also the Gentiles. Those of us who are not of the Jewish people are considered Gentiles, all of us. That's nothing to do with color. It has to do with the way God sees it. So, for God so loved the world, or the cosmos, that he gave his one and only Son, or his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, notice where the writer goes. And so in the Greek we have the word into or toward him, that whosoever believes into or toward Jesus. Now notice, John does not say to receive Jesus as one's personal Savior. He does not use those words. You will not find those words in the New Testament. It is to believe in him. And so after the word believes, then we have the prepositional phrase in him. We have the Greek preposition in, and then we have the object of the preposition him, in him. In is a locative of sphere. And so, in is also, en in Greek, is a locative of rest. Whoever believes in him, whoever believes within the sphere of him, comes to this place of rest. New location, locative of sphere, and locative of rest in Jesus. He indeed is God's gift to all of us. He indeed is the wonderful one. He gives us all rest. When we believe in Jesus, we come into a new sphere of being. Paul would write, old things, that is the old worn out thing, the old worn out things of the cosmos, the old worn out things of pedigree and position and power and money and prerogative, the old worn out things, Paul writes, are passed away. Behold, all things have become fresh to ever remain so. All things have become fresh, ever to remain so, because now we are within the sphere of Jesus. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, say that when we come to Jesus, we will receive a new young mind, a new young mind, because we have been made new by the Spirit of God. Whoever believes within the sphere of him, or in him, notice, shall not die, but in contradistinction will have eternal life. The eternal life that you and I receive is God's own life. Peter wrote, we have been made partakers, listen carefully, you and I have been made partakers of the divine nature through Jesus. We have a wonderful hope, a wonderful Savior, a wonderful life. Praise God this afternoon. Praise and shout. Praise and give thanks. Because you and I have a salvation by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you.